T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, hello, Ryan Castle. Are you there?
Welcome to my home.
Yes.
If you guys could come over, please take off your shoes. Oh, you brought beer. How nice. How considerate. Thank you.
Did
welcome.
Did you vacuum down here?
I did.
It looks very clean. I'm just saying. Yeah. I wonder why you were taking off our shoes. You've never asked that before.
He's going to be pissed when he finds that tuft of pubic hair right there in the corner.
Right.
I put some of that powder stuff on the carpet too before I vacuumed it up so it doesn't smell so doggy.
That stuff is magical. It really everyone knows you just vacuumed and you're like, look, what I'm trying to tell you, you don't want to smell what it smelled like before this.
No, it's like putting baking powder, like, you know, something all over the bed after you have sex.
If someone walks out of the kitchen with baking powder, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you get nice and fluffy in there, man. Oh,
baking powder says you don't want to know what this smells like. That's why you put it in your fridge.
Oh, it smells so fresh.
In all of my years, I have never heard of
it.
You're welcome.
How long have you been down there?
I'm going to go try it right now. We got to go.
How long have you been down there now? This is what? How many months?
Oh, geez, dude. I really haven't done the math. So this would be, I think, mid-March is when we sent everybody home except for you guys.
Yeah, and you're still down there.
We're called the guinea pigs.
Have you been able to break out at all? Have you even left this dungeon basement?
Yeah, of course. So okay. Thrill and I met for a drink on Thursday last week as they started to open things up here in Seattle. One of our favorite bars, the Pacific Inn, its deck was open. I think they seated like 5 tables in the entire place, and we had to wait like a half hour to get in. But we sat on a patio in the sunshine and had a couple of beers last week, and it was awesome.
It was glorious.
Awesome. That would have been nice if you called me.
The company sucked, but it was nice to be outside and drinking.
You could have sent a text. I live right beside there. Anyway, here we are.
We slapped the phone out of his hand.
We are sure it would have been convenient. I'm so close. Here we are once again for Sit and Spin. And what do you got for us today?
Yeah. So it's the 100 greatest debut singles of all time.
All 100?
Rolling all right. Stone. We're not going to do all 100 of them, though. We'll do 10% of them. So think this is the first song you heard from that band. Like, for example, I believe it was Alive, Pearl Jam's first single. Like, think, like, that's pretty amazing.
Sure,
That's like an out-of-the-park first single. Not on the list.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Mambo number five was the first single I heard from Lou Bega.
But again, this is not based on Billboard. Billboard does more of a number, how long
you're
on the charts.
Billboard is accurate. Rolling Stone is giving all opinions.
This is a bunch of writers.
Actually.
Okay, so what did they think were the top 10 debut singles of all time?
Tell us, Lovey.
Yes, please.
Number 10.
Oh, well, Nas X. All right.
Yeah, I think maybe this might have been top of mind when they did put together this list. I mean, this song's what, 2 years old? 10?
Rolling Stone's trying to act woke, bro. We both know you might like this song. This is not such a spectacular single that it ranks as number. This is Rolling Stone. Stop.
Yeah, I mean, this guy hasn't even had an opportunity to be a one-hit wonder yet, because I think you have to have a next single fail before you're officially a one-hit wonder, and I don't even know we've gotten to that point with Lil Nas X yet.
Well, everybody knows Panini, the next single, was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about it earlier.
Apparently everyone knows now. They didn't 5 seconds ago.
When I saw a Great White When the Children Cry went on there, I was like, there's nothing else. Okay. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Oh, you mean White Pine, Little Child?
Nine, number nine. Hey,
all right.
Let's go.
That's great bop from the Ramones. You know, I don't think this song was a hit per se at the time.
We didn't say that, Lovey. We said greatest debut single.
According to Rolling Stone.
We're telling you why you're wrong.
I think these songs from the Ramones, really, to be honest with you, never got a lot of airplay back in the day. Yeah. Was because they were a minute 35.
Right.
And there's no way you could run down the hallway and pee. I mean, honestly,
that's exactly what it was.
I mean, they guess, look, man, I just can't do it.
Freebird, giant hit because you had time to go to the bathroom.
Do Blitz we feel like
bop,
we do?
No way, can't go to the bathroom, can't even have a smoke.
We are spinning. These are the 10 greatest debut singles of all time.
number 8.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right.
Elvis Presley, of course, had 800 gazillion songs over the course of his career, and That's All Right was his debut.
All right, but here, my only question is this Rolling Stones song, we have to add Elvis, or it's nothing against Elvis, it's just this, you say, like, greatest debut singles. In other words, does it just mean the debut of a single of an artist that went on to explode, or is the debut song that great?
Song what I'm saying is the song that good.
This song is terrible.
So, for example.
But his career was explosive, right?
I think this isn't
a great debut single.
I think Rat, Round and Round was a great debut single from the band.
I agree.
Because I like the song. But this is Rolling Stone. And these are the 10 greatest debut singles of all times.
Number 7.
All right.
No, we're good. Okay.
Yeah, just stop.
We're not all bad, Luffy.
Yeah.
Have another drink of wine from Chateau Champagne.
And Led Zeppelin did, you know, some stuff after this.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, a little bit.
But even if they didn't, I would argue this is a great debut single. That's all.
It really is. It's a strong Led Zeppelin song.
There are 100 total, but these are the 10 greatest debut singles of all times on Sit and Spin. We made it to number 6.
Number 6.
All right, I will say this. I'm a big REM fan, but this is exactly where the writers of Rolling Stone, this is where they fly their freak flag. They're masturbating to this right now. It's like, I love REM.
But REM is like a Rolling Stone band.
Let me say something that's probably going to be unpopular, and that is I have never liked REM. So
that's fine.
Okay. And this song especially, I do not like from REM.
Hey, turn it up, will you?
Yeah, give me good stuff.
We're almost at the hook.
Like, REM is fine.
They were massive for a little bit.
They were huge. Maybe that's why. I just heard them all the time. And it reminded me of someone who I may or may not enjoy if I were stuck next to him on a plane.
Oh.
Like, we might agree on some stuff, but you seem a little whiny.
What is that book you're reading? These are the 10 greatest debut singles of all time. So I'm Sit and Spin.
Number 5.
I was motivating over the hill. I saw Maybelline in a coupe de ville.
There is no woman named Maybelline under the age of 130.
Can't imagine she's sexy.
Maybeline is not sexy. She was available.
At the time this song was written, knowing what I know about Chuck Berry, Maybelline was probably 14.
Oh, wow.
I'd rather envision him with his legs above his head farting.
Have you seen his sex tape?
Yes. Oh, my God. It is the worst thing you've ever seen.
It really is awful.
He's terrible. He is absolutely horrible.
It's just terrible.
Oh, my God.
Get it on taste of junk, mama.
You can't even believe it. You're just like, Jesus.
Right, let me rephrase that. Knowing what I know about Chuck Berry, now Maybelline was into some freaky stuff.
Oh, my God.
No, she wasn't.
I've never seen anyone fart on someone before. That was a new move for me.
Oh, it scares you.
Yeah, it did. These are the 10 greatest debut singles of all times on Sit and Spin.
Number 4.
You realize that this single has established how everyone can't rap starts every rap. Right? If you take, like, my name is Jeff and I'm here to say, like, this is the
we're living right here in the big old US of A.
Right. Anytime someone does that, like when they don't know what rap is, it doesn't relate to them, this is the song they model it after.
All the time.
Yep. Which
Run DMC, Sucker MCs.
10 greatest debut singles of all times on Sit and Spin.
Mike agrees. What a beautiful voice.
Debut this really is Mike Hawk's jam, isn't it?
Debut and only single.
Just a hellraiser, that one.
Yeah.
Who's that again?
Sex Pistols.
Yeah, that's the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
sometimes I like that UK punk stuff.
Sure. I mean, it was cool, man. It stirred up some controversy, but... And the Sex Pistols get a lot of credit for kind of being the first. This song is a lot of the reason why, but there was a lot of really cool-ass English punk going on at the time.
But again, these are just as beautiful of lead vocals.
I
understood these as debut singles, meaning there would be, in fact, more singles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. But in fact, that doesn't happen with them. Yeah.
Number 2.
Oh, here you go, Castle.
Oh, you know, this is my jam. I've said this before on this feature. There is no better, more perfect pop song than the Jackson 5's I Want You Back.
No, it is.
Yeah, it's all right. You don't have to like it, but you're right. It is a perfect pop song.
The only one I can even think close enough is
a pop song.
If you had Candy Girl from New Edition, maybe.
Great song.
Yeah. We're talking about Chuck Berry. And again, if you haven't seen the sex, watch it more for comedic reasons than anything else. But if they even said, we found a Michael Jackson sex tape, you're like, do not release that under any circumstances.
No.
Yeah.
I want to go outside and blow bubbles.
Bubbles,
you know, like with a wand.
Yeah.
These are the 10 greatest debut singles of all time. 3 minutes. Number one.
Oh,
holy hell.
All right.
Really?
Oh, there's a big shocker, huh?
That
Britney
is.
Spears at number one.
Get out of here.
This was
Rolling
huge.
Stone. Pick Britney Spears.
We Like Blondes, baby.
I didn't see that one coming.
No, not at all.
Thank you, Ryan Castle.
I mean, that's kind of part of the song.
We appreciate it. There you go.
It's
the 10,
Britney, bitch.
10 greatest debut singles of all time.
Connect with the guys. Find The Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to The Men's Room on The Men's Room Radio Network.
The other thing you got to do, and I've been the, what do you call somebody that's like the guy that's going to take the fall?
The fall guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
God damn it.
All right. But I've told you I was going to a concert. Actually, at.
Man. No, go ahead, man.
All right, yeah.
Continue.
You know what? I don't even know if I want
what
to.
What do you call that guy that comes and gets your garbage?
What do you call the man that does stunts?
Yep. I'm on it.
Daredevil.
We were going to a concert, and somebody said, can you sneak in a couple miniatures of vodka? Sure.
Yeah.
Game on. I'm on it, right? So I'm a genius. And they're like, just put it in your hood. Because I'm, of course, shocker, I was wearing a hoodie.
Right.
So, of course, we go to the line. They catch me in no time. But everybody else cruises through with all the other essentials, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
How did they catch you and none of them?
Because nobody else really got patted down as we came in as a group. So I was the first one, and the guy was just like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, really?
And, like, reached my hood. So as, like, the main security guard is kind of giving me the business, everybody else just kind of flashed your ticket and walked through.
Ah, I see. Yes, you were the fall guy. I will say, I feel like if I try to sneak something, I get busted. If I don't intend to do something, no one notices. We flew to San Francisco 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was. No big deal. The night before we flew down, there was some KISW event. All I remember is that Rat was involved. I think it was the day I saw Stephen Pearcy in the bathroom.
Yeah, it was like the Halloween show.
Something like that, right? But anyway, people love giving us weed, and we love taking the weed that people give us. I had forgotten exactly how much weed I had on me. We go to the airport, no big deal. And 9 times out of 10, I go to the airport. I'm randomly selected to be searched because I look like I have drugs on me. Well, this time I did, but I didn't even know it. They don't search me. We land in San Francisco. It's like 10:30 in the morning. We're all looking for a place just to get a drink. Find an Irish pub. We're like 10 or 12 people deep. Throw down a few pints. So we're all going to chip in for the bill. And I remember I open my wallet, and there is that joint. And I'm like, oh, my God, Jesus. Like, the last thing I want to do is get busted at an airport with drugs, right?
Yeah.
I just remember opening my wallet. My wife's mad. I'm like, I didn't know it was in there. Like, how did you not know it was in there? I'm like, because it's me. And we got real hammered last night. I might have drugs. I found more drugs, like, in my pocket. Mm-hmm. Seriously, man, like, we finally got to the hotel. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm like a drug mule and had no freaking idea that all this crap was
on. You didn't have any idea, but we have traveled before. And
had an idea?
And somebody in the party is just sweating. You know what I mean? And we know what we're doing. I mean.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie. I mean, we have done some stupid stuff as far as, what is in my luggage? Guess.
Right.
Where can I hide this? And then we get to where we're going like, yes.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
But one thing,
a long time ago, though. So many years.
I don't do it now.
Maybe stop talking about it at this bar inside the airport.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
Hey, man.
But now we
got through security. We're not on the plane yet.
Yeah, but now when we get to California, the weed is there.
We're not on the plane yet, Niles.
Now when we get to Nevada, it's legal there. So when we, before these days, Colorado is legal there.
But I never had a problem finding weed, man. And we flew to San Diego. We got there real late. We went into a bar. I don't know why, but these guys decided to lock us in the bar with them. Like, it's closing time. You guys seem cool. You can stay. Like, okay. So the whole conversation is, we need to find weed. We need to find weed, but you don't know, since it's still illegal at this time, you don't know who's cool to ask openly, who is not. We had learned a lesson in Alaska. Don't ask out loud.
No.
So I always remember it's like this 50-year-old black chick. She had dreads. She had worked in the kitchen, but she walks from out of the kitchen into the bar. So Miles and I.
She's also the lead singer of the blues band.
That's right. So Miles and I immediately go, hey, man, do you know where we can score weed? And I remember the woman looks at us and goes, now, why would you ask me that? I said, because you're a black chick with dreads. I'm
going to
put
sorry.
It on the table. So you know what she did?
She pulled it right out.
She pulled out her pen, ink pen, unscrewed the top.
The tiniest little tiny teeny
and slid four joints out.
I'm like, joint.
That's why we asked you. Not only do you know where to get it, it is on you,
it's on you.
It looked in your pocket.
It looked like the Virginia Slim of joints.
You know what I mean?
It was like a.
She had four of them stuffed in this pen.
It was like a Capri, but a joint.
Why are you asking me? Like, you know damn well why I'm asking.
It was good weed, too. You know, like, she was religious, though. You know what I mean?
Like, she was.
Oh, I'm blessed, so I can't really do it. Oh, here you go. Just take the weed.
And she was like, y'all are my angels.
And then they closed the door and shut down the bar and left us in there and let us drink and smoke those joints.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I was like, where are
we?
We did not know
these people.
This
but I'm
was
like,
cool. We just went from just nothing to something, like, immediately.
Getting drunk, now smoking weed.
Now we're locked into a bar for as long as we want to be. This is great.
So we went back to the hotel drunk and high.
God, I've gotten turned down so many times in random cities.
The hardest is Vegas. That's why I'm so happy it's legal.
Yeah.
Vegas is just so hard
to get
weed.
I'll just say one big city. I was going to a sporting event. So we're drinking at this bar. And this bar, the waitress is like having fun with us, right? We showed up early and we're just pounding beers. And like she's bringing buckets as quick as you, right? So she brings up Jimmy Buffett. So in my head, I'm like, this is game on. This is the person I should ask. She was incredibly offended.
Really?
Oh, yeah. To the point of like tab out. I'm done with you.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Marijuana?
Yes.
Was that offensive to her?
Right. But then later in the night, I met a door guy at a different place and kind of, you know, bro down, if you will. Right? And he was like, yeah, man, I could probably hook you up. And some other dude came out and was like, we're going to find weed. Yeah. And I was like, I have no idea. Oh, this is a tough city. So when that guy walked away, he was like, I got you. Take my cell phone number.
Yeah.
Dude,
we were in this bar. I'll tell you the story real quick because I know we need to take a break.
This is L.A.
This is L.A. We're in Hollywood Boulevard. We're in this bar, right? We're in this bar that's owned by Armenians, family of, mom, dad working. The
right.
whole
Everyone day. There is part of this family.
It's part of one family. So I'm sitting at the bar and talking to this lady, and I'm like, hey, you know, boy, we would really love to get high. 5 minutes later, this black Cadillac with tinted windows pulls up.
And this is the owner of the bar.
And I'm sitting there smoking a joint, man. And the window rolls down. And I'm thinking, oh, God, this guy's going to kill me. This looks like a mob hit. Like, you know what I mean? First of all, the bar kind of had that element. And the window goes.
This bar was not a great place.
And I look in, and there's two chihuahuas sitting in the passenger seat on a pillow looking at me. And I look over at the dude, and he goes, hey. And he hands me this big nugget.
Big.
Big nugget.
Big, big.
It's on the house. I mean, 5 minutes after I mentioned this, the bar.
What bar is this?
Window goes up.
I won't say.
Window goes up. It's too identifiable.
Right.
Window goes up. He pulls away. This weed is some of the... It stunk so bad in our pocket. We had to leave the bar. On the way back to the bar, that's when we ran into Marilyn Monroe. Smell this. Marilyn Monroe goes like, I'm coming with you guys.
Yeah, we're so smoking weed with Marilyn Monroe.
We're up in a hotel room with Marilyn Monroe just getting baked. She's throwing the wig off. Hell that I'm not working the rest right. of the day. I'm too high.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
All right, I think we need to go back in time to the last time that we played Ted versus the FCC. So if we could... Let's go back in time.
Time. She shyly sat at a shiny Shazam Sushi City sushi shop.
Three times fast.
She shyly
Oh, that's past tense. Oh. That's not oh. good.
Wow. Even past tense is bad.
That was a quick one. Shoot again.
And now, everyone's favorite daytime game show, where one person could lose $325,000 and their job, or win, and walk away with nothing. It's time for Ted versus the FCC.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, man.
Talk about getting creative with drugs. They're hard to find these days, so we'll do just about anything you put in front of us.
Yeah, last night we did a line of ants.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Burn.
Old school, huh? Right.
Old school.
Aussie stuff.
But man, oh man, did we come up with a long list of tongue twisters and riddles for Ted in Ted versus the FCC.
Because it turns out when ants climb on your brain, it triggers different neurons.
Mm-hmm. Then we get this email from John this morning.
It's an ant treatment, man.
Uh-huh. He's a biology major.
Uh-oh.
He's a pretty smart guy here.
Well, no, he said he's a major.
Right, we don't know if he's past it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I've been here for 9 years.
Says Old Bacholas.
That's a two-year school.
Bacholas, sorry to rain on your Tide Pod and Trucker Speed Parade.
I appreciate that.
But I figured I would try my hand at one of those things you do called Ted versus the FCC, and it goes something like this. Shy Shelly sits on Big Ide's big deck while sipping shandies and fiddling with his clock. Thank you guys for all you do. You make the 12-hour day on the farm a little more bearable. Keep up the great work. That from S. Kicker John. The way we do Ted versus the FCC is you got to read that one time through and then three times fast.
Stretching out my mouth for all these S's.
You want help?
Where's Rich Sherman at?
All right, Sherm. I was going to say, easy.
You rang.
All right. It's been a tough go here. All right. Shy Shelly sits on Bic Ide's big deck while sipping shandies and fiddling with his clock.
Three times fast.
Shy Shelly sits on Bic Ide's big deck while sipping shandies and fiddling with his clock.
One.
Shy Shelly sits on Bic Ide's big deck while sipping shandies and fiddling with his clock.
Two.
Shy Shelly sits on Bic Ide's big deck while sipping shandies and fiddling with his clock.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big win. Hey, Ted versus the FCC back in the week off. How about that, bitches? Yeah.
Want more of The Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com.
What happened to you from the inside? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Bernie. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hola, naked ladies.
Hola.
All right, flashback to 15 years old and a BB story.
Do you still have it?
Oh, no. It came out.
Ah, mine's still in there. Okay.
Eventually.
How many years?
I'm messing around with my dad's CO2 pistol, and it loads six at a time, and you shoot boom, 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 boom. And you know what? It shot a couple blanks, so I would do one more just to feel the rush of air between my fingers. Oh, hell no. There's one left. Boom. Middle finger of my left hand. I'm so embarrassed. I don't tell anybody. I bandage the sucker up. I don't tell mom. I don't tell dad. I don't tell anybody. Flash forward 30 years, right?
So you're what, 45?
I'm 45, yes. I'm in Vegas for a big, huge car show convention, biggest thing ever. It's Halloween in Vegas. I'm staying at a buddy's house. We are going out. We're going to have a fun freaking time. And this thing is swelling up, and I'm, like, in pain. I'm like, we're going to have to go to a dock in the box. I'm like, he's like, hell no, we'll do it right here. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah. We pull the jack out of the counter. Little for the patient, little for the doctor. And the bottle's gone. We ice the sucker up. And he goes, all right, we line the sink with paper towels, and it's go time. He goes, I'm not going to do this twice. Okay. He goes, you ready? I'm like, yep. Yeah. He goes, on three. He goes, one, and stabs a freaking razor blade into my finger, and out pops green pus and the iron core of the BB from 30 years before.
Ah, what does that smell like?
Vegas. Oh, it was nasty. It was grody.
Did you, and no infection after that? You were still able to go out and have a good time?
Oh, we squeezed it and squeezed it. I iced it beforehand, and we took the razor blade and carved out the green infection because that's what, copper does when it oxidizes. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how much people do not want to go to the hospital or see the doctor. Like, you think for minute, just look, you know what? I can take care of this because I hate going to the doctor.
Because it's a baby. Yeah.
So bad. I mean,
well, his wife, the nurse, who was out of town, approved.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, it's always good to have a voucher. It's just...
It depends what it is. But again, honestly, it's the cost sometimes. You know, right. If I broke my leg, sure, you suck it up and deal. You feel like it's worth the money. You say that until you actually get the bill. Like, I should just limp. Mm-hmm. But something like a BB, you're like, man, come on, bud, just cut it out. But I love how he says, you know, when you do it with a friend, you drink some Jack, your buddy drinks Jack. And I'm picturing if you went to an actual hospital, you took a Percocet, then your doctor took a Percocet. You'd be like, what are you doing, man?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got to get on your level.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if it's your friend who has no medical background, you encourage them to drink alcohol, which really is kind of stupid. But your doctor, like, I know what I'm doing. But if they took a swig of Jack before, all right, I'm going to cut this out. You'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeehaw.
I get a little nervous when I do this surgery.
What happened to you from the inside? 206-421-ROCK.
Well, I mean, right, it's fine for the guy you're operating on. But, like, right, why is the doctor chugging?
Gosh, it makes me nervous, man. It's sight of blood. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the men's room.
Yeah, hey.
Hola. Hola.
So I got another BB story. Mine's a little different than his. When I was, 11, 12 years old, we're playing BB gun wars out in the woods, and I got shot in the chin. And so in your chin, you got these two big holes where main nerves go in.
Yeah.
So the BB went in one of those holes. So I'm bleeding profusely, right? So I go to the doctor. My mom takes me to the doctor. They literally have to cut the inside of my mouth between my teeth and my lip, peel my lip down, and then drill my jawbone to pop the BB back out of the hole into my mouth. And I ended up spitting it out.
Do you remember this drill? You go in the side of your mouth and all that stuff, and the BB popping in.
Yes, I was awake for it. It was gnarly.
it sounds
like a cool surgery, though.
No, it doesn't.
Was it really like a drill bit? You know, like, I mean, they just pulled out a Dewalt and just like stuck it to your head and went after you.
No, it wasn't. It was more like a dentist drill. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. But it was. I don't know. A dentist drill is still a drill. It's just small enough
to
fit in your face.
I know.
Even, I had to get a tooth out, and they have all these clever names for their tools. So I don't know what they're talking about, but like anything, it's local. And she opens up her little, portfolio of tools, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's a pair of pliers, a hammer, and a chisel.
That's exactly
and that's
what it
all.
Is.
But no. These are, I'm like, no. Like, if I were Peter Dinklage, this would be the size of hammer, like, chisel, and but that's all
it's
this
like
is.
It's like Ted in his head when they took the staple gun and all that stuff. Like, you don't expect, when you're in a hospital, to have things working on you that you can buy at the Home Depot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? It's just like as a child, you couldn't have it.
Can't get enough of the men's room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast on the radio.com app.
Game is Big Dummy, 206-421-ROCK. That's when you're retching, man. I mean,
that game did not test too well when we did Know Your Vomit. We tried, but, you know.
And that one little yellow drip just got out of the corner of your mouth.
Hello, Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
Big Dummy.
Joe, you there?
Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hola. Hola.
Joe, sober, not sober.
Oh, so not sober.
So not sober, Joe. All right, Joe, welcome to the show. You got to pick a bird to eat. Will it be the toucan, the flamingo, the snow owl, or the penguin?
I'm sure somebody has a delicious recipe for a penguin, but I'm going to go toucan.
Toucan.
Who do you think has a delicious recipe for penguin? Like, who would you go to first?
Someone who is not an Eskimo.
Well, sure, because penguins would be in Antarctica.
Right. So,
you know who's had penguins
that aren't Eskimos? I don't know.
Probably somebody at one of those research stations down there. You can't tell me that in all the years they've been there. Yeah, I would.
Chili, maybe.
Good point.
Yeah.
Why the hell not? All right, here's a question. Who was the first NFL coach to win 3 Super Bowls?
Three Super Bowls. 3 Super Bowls?
Bill Walsh.
Nope.
Oh, was it Joe Gibbs?
No, you know the answer to this. You're just not thinking it through.
Chuck Knoll.
Right, because you go, he was Steelers. The first to win 4.
Yeah, all right, good.
All right, your question. What do you call someone from Finland?
Say it again, please.
What do you call someone from Finland?
Finnish.
Okay. Nice job, Joe. Very good. You're Finnish.
Finnish. Or
Finnish.
A Finn, yeah.
If you're really focusing on this area of Europe today on Big
Well,
Dummy.
Yeah, because it occurred to me, I don't know what the hell you call anybody from these places.
206-421-ROCK, who is our next contestant, ready to play the big game.
You didn't know Finnish?
Dummy!
I wasn't sure.
All right.
Or something. All right, you know, F you. Hello, Shane. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores. Shane, sober, not sober.
Sober.
All right, Shane, welcome to the show. All right, Insane in the Shane, pick a bird to eat. Toucan, flamingo, snow owl, or penguin?
So I gave it a lot of thought, did some internet research. I thought I was going penguin, but I'm going flamingo because I looked up they have a flamingo flambé, and I would probably try the flamingo flambé.
So there actually is flamingo on the menu someplace?
I typed in flamingo recipe, and flamingo flambé was the first thing to pop up. They got a few different versions of it, but yeah, I think it would probably be the best.
Okay.
Did you type in recipes for any of the other birds?
Yes, I tried penguin and they didn't really seem too appealing, but I'm not eating an owl just because I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me. They're like kind of like fourth kind, you know, I don't want some like aliens like sucking me up because I ate an owl.
Yes, that's a very logical way to think of that. All right, here's your question. It's multiple choice. In what state is the Bowling Hall of Fame? Ohio, Pennsylvania, Iowa, or Texas? So Ohio, Pennsylvania, Iowa, or Texas?
Bowling, let's go Texas.
Damn.
Oh,
I would
man.
Not have guessed that in 10 million years. My initial thought was Ohio.
Here, in fact, is the braised flamingo, everybody.
It looks a little different when it's cooked, but yeah. Not different enough.
I mean, when you dress it like that, oh, that's a roast duck.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, dude, that is not a.
Wait, where's the flamingo?
This is the flamingo right here. So you can see the head and all that stuff.
Christ.
Keep the whole thing on there.
That is
that is something, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
I
try it.
Yeah.
Rip his little pink flesh off his body.
Wow, Ted.
Game is Big Dummy, 206-421 Rock.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Hola. Daniel, what team are you playing for?
One sec, guys. Now I'm having issues with my Bluetooth. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
What is going on here?
He's having issues with his Bluetooth.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
we got you there.
Okay.
I'm going to say you're on team sober. So what bird are you going to eat? Toucan, flamingo, snow owl, or penguin?
I'm going to go with flamingo, too. I have a thought with Miles that, you know,
it doesn't
have to taste good. Like, maybe the legs are super small or whatever, but the main body, I feel like, I don't know.
You know, the preparation on this one that I'm seeing right now isn't up to my standards, but I do believe that
What are your flamingo standards?
Well, I like more of a dry rub, and that kind of looks like a wet, maybe Indian paste. You know what I mean?
It actually looks good. However they cooked it, they cooked it very well.
Mm-hmm.
I wish my birds looked a little more like that.
Probably greasy.
I would think so. All right, here is your question. Tufts University. Tufts University is located in what state?
Can you say the university name one more time?
Tufts. T-U-F-T-S.
In what state?
Yep.
I'm going to go... Tennessee?
No. New York?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Boston.
See, that'd be the funny thing. Your kid's like, Dad, I got into Tufts. Like, that's awesome. So, where is that exactly? Where are you going?
My cousin went there.
Oh, okay. Well, let's stick on that.
He was an architect, then he got into popcorn.
See, that's how it goes. Dreams come true. Let's stick with that. Rutgers University. Rutgers University is located in what state? Dad, I got into Rutgers. Man, that's fantastic. I'm proud of you, son. Where's that again now? As a hint, the highest point in the state is named High Point. Because they're clever.
It's also, I want to say, the home of the first ever college football game.
Really?
Yeah, which is weird.
And it's also home of this guy.
Oh, hey.
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 This guy right here.
It's the official state school of.
You need slacks? Hey, Daniel, you need some slacks?
Yeah.
Any guesses?
How about a state, Daniel? With an Eastern accent like this.
Hey.
Yeah.
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 Hey.
Right. One of them.
Next.
Any guess for the state?
No. No guesses.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
Give one more.
I'll give you one more.
Give one more.
All right, one more. Now, this is multiple choice.
Okay.
Which one of these leg bones is actually your kneecap? Which one of these leg bones is your kneecap? Is it the femur, the tibia, or the patella?
The tibia?
The patella.
Hold the line there, Daniel. We'll talk to you again next week.
Which is also the average last name of someone from New Jersey. Yeah, Jimmy Patella.
Joe Patella.
Connect with the Men's Room on Instagram at Men's Room Live.
I mean, I have the relatives in Texas, and they all cook, and they cook all the time, but specifically in Houston. And it was a couple of years ago where they do these, air samples to check your smog. And in Los Angeles, it's pure car exhaust, like you'd think. And in Texas, a percentage of the smog was barbecue.
Really?
Yes. Because,
that doesn't shock me.
Because everyone is barbecuing or grilling outside. I mean, and I'm not joking when I say, like, everybody. It is what they do. So if you go to my uncle's backyard, he cooks all day, every day. I mean, it's just what he does. And he can wave to his neighbor, and his neighbor's standing at the grill. And you look at the other neighbor, and they're standing at the grill. And, I mean, you realize, like, everyone in this city grills all of the time. And it never gets so cold there that you're not going to grill. I mean, in wintertime, they complain it's cold because it's 68 degrees. But they'll still go out there and grill. But, yeah, they did a sample, and they said, honest to God, part of the air, just to breathe in Houston, Texas, you're inhaling barbecue.
Is that Texas is huge. You know that. If you've ever driven through it or anything like that. I mean, it's a big state, and, you know, half the state is more north of Oklahoma than most of Oklahoma is. People don't realize just what a big – some of it's Bayou influence. Some of it's New Mexican influenced as far as the cuisine goes.
Sure.
Is Houston the bar – like when they say Texas barbecue, are they basically just specifically talking about the barbecue that comes out of Houston?
In my mind, it is, but keep in mind, you know, having family there, the entire father side of the family there, in my mind it is, because every time I go to Texas, I'm probably going to Houston and I eat barbecue. Now, that said, again, remember – some of the smog in Houston, not in Dallas, not in Austin, not anywhere else that they tested the smog, and everyone in Texas drives, right? So there's exhaust everywhere, but only in Houston was some of what you're breathing in actual barbecue. Yeah. So I got to think to myself that it is the episode.
Okay,
but that said, when I went to Austin, but this is tough. If you're in Texas, you're going to get good barbecue because it's Texas. They won't let you have bad barbecue. But in Austin, while the barbecue was very good, they also lean, like you would say, kind of the New Mexican influence. So there's a lot of dried
chili. Like a Santa Fe chili compared to a Texas chili, which is, you know what I mean?
Like, and then even in Texas, they cut it in, right? There's Texas barbecue, but then there's specifically like Central Texas barbecue.
Which
is like brisket and this and that. Yeah, so it's, I don't know the difference is, but it's kind of the same way in the Carolinas, right? North Carolina's vinegar-based, South Carolina's going to be the mustard-based,
right.
So I think Texas is just a big enough state where, depending on where you go.
But I still...
Texas chili, no beans, right? Is that their what's the shtick on Texas chili?
Yeah, well, technically, right? Like they have like the technically chili should not have beans, but it was added back in the day to stretch the meal.
Sure,
okay.
I agree. Most chili should not have beans.
What would you go to Mike's Chili Parlor? What would you like to eat just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
One of the reasons I love is chili. There's no beans in it.
But it is.
You can get beans if you want, but you don't have to. That's not how it starts.
Right. But for most of us, it's weird. It's like when I grew up, like beans were a big part of the chili.
Yeah, they were always done again to stretch the meal.
Kidney beans.
Oh, God. They are just the freaking worst. Hello, Melody. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, fresh seal liver. Hands down. Favorite thing I ever ate. Probably will not get an opportunity to have that again.
Are you a killer whale?
Not today.
Where were you when you tried? I mean, like, if you if it was like the movie Castaway and like, our plane crashed on a deserted island, I would get it.
I was up in southeast Alaska. That's where, you know, I have family up there. And we took a commercial fishing boat from this little town called Yakutat. It's between Juneau and Haines up to the Hubbard Glacier. And on the way up there, we were long lining for salmon and trolling for halibut and what have you. Since I was a visitor, I got the catch of the day. When we got up to the face of the glacier, which had a lot of icebergs in it, and it's very dangerous, but once you, we got off onto a skiff, like, you know, one of those little aluminum boats.
Yeah.
A few of us, and there was a contract that was legal to hunt seal, and it was very disturbing for me. But everybody on that little boat, there was four of us and a dog, everybody was being quiet, and there's seals all around these icebergs, on the icebergs. They're like seagulls down at Alki or something. They're everywhere, and our job was to get some of them and take them home and fulfill that contract.
What does it taste like?
Holy hell.
Holy hell.
I love liver, chicken liver, beef liver, calf liver.
Okay, so you're a liver, but you prefer, you had the seal, it ranks higher than the other livers?
It does, because their appendage, it's like if you look at your wrist and drop your hand down and look at your fingers, they have nine livers, nine little appendages. And they're all about, I don't know, 9 inches. And they're super dark meat, really healthy and clean because they're up there in the glacier water.
But you said you're in it. This was raw,
they're eating
though, right?
Fish. Hmm?
And this is raw.
No. We took the big boat back into the marina and then drove to the cabin, and we made liver and onions.
Ooh.
Mm. Oh.
Oh, does it smell better than most liver when you cook it?
Oh, man. There's just nothing like it. And then, like I said, it's not like I'm ever going to have the chance to eat that kind of liver again, because you don't go seal hunting every day.
Unless you're a Lucian.
Most people don't.
It was a trip.
I mean, most of the time in the wild, any animal that's a predator on another animal, they don't even worry about the meat. They're going into the underbelly and taking all that first, because that's what they're really there for. And then they eat the rest of the carcass. It's all the organs, the intestines. That's all the good stuff.
Or is it like to kill a whale if it kills a great white or whatever? Like,
guts it.
It just wants the liver.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. And people that, I shouldn't say people. The hunting show I watch, that guy loves liver.
Really?
Oh, he's always fired up for it.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
All right, Michael, we made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve Thrillhill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast an unidentified duo from somewhere, I believe, in Australia. Now, there's no real story here, just some play-by-play of footage from a closed-circuit TV. Now, the action takes place right around a dumpster that's behind some type of business, maybe a store, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Now, the video shows a jogger. And then the jogger squeezes between the dumpster and the back wall. Why? Because he's going to poop. Now, he didn't realize he was on closed circuit TV, but that was not his biggest problem. As he is pooping, an employee at the store exited, swinging the door open, and the door opens outward. So when he swings the door open, he slams into the jogger that is squatting down, pooping next to the dumpster. Now, the employee realizes that he has, in fact, hit someone. So he takes a look, as anyone would do. And when he sees that this guy is pooping, he now starts yelling at this guy, because obviously you don't want anyone defecating on your place of business. He starts yelling at the guy, and you can't hear his words, but you can assume what it is that he's saying. And then he at least demands that the man clean up his fresh pile of turds. The jogger is forced to use his bare hands to clean up the poop. And I know what you're thinking. We'll just pop the dumpster and drop it in there. He tried. The dumpster's locked. So the video ends with this guy walking with his own excrement in his hands until he disappears from camera view. Mm-mm-mm. The aristocrats.
Yep.
I had not seen the video until we're like halfway through the show. Pops up on Miles' screen, and when this guy gets hit by the door, and keep in mind, you're pooping, you're squatting, you're trying to be subtle, you're next to a dumpster. When this dude opens the door, I mean, he swings this thing open and smashes this guy, and you just kind of see him lower his head. I mean, he looks like a man who's been defeated. And
you're already defeated if you're pooping by a dumpster in an alley out back. I mean,
that's a strong when you say it out loud.
Like, look, I mean, right. you're in an extreme situation there where you don't have any options.
But he walks off with his hands cupped together with a pile of poop in him.
Like a little bird.
Walking. Yeah, no, it looks like he's going to go release a chick into the wild, but it's a pile of his own poop.
Hey, why?
What? Dude. The guy that came out of the store is obviously
bigger
quite
guy
angry.
He's going to kick his ass.
And it's need to clean this up. And I mean, like, I'm not giving you anything. So this guy picks up his own turds and walks away. But you see him try to lift the dumpster, and it's locked. And I'm just like, oh, that's the bad part right there.
I feel like if I had to go that bad, that would not be pick-upable.
I agree. Like, hey, man, I'd love to help you, but you got any rags? Because, like, it's not necessarily where it impacted.
Let me get one sock.
Right. It's kind of a pool now.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Have you seen the video, Ted?
No.
Oh, man.
I guess better your poo than somebody else's, but it's
agreed
still 100%. Demeaning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looks demeaned. I mean, he looks the way any of us would look if you had to pick up your own poop in a public place and walk down the street. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola!
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill. Also available on radio.com.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.